Today is Saturday, the 26th of March, 2022, and we're gathered here for the 26th session of the Mindfulness for Beginners in English program. On behalf of the organizers, I would like to start by welcoming, representing the Nisarana Vanaya Forest Monastery, with permission to speak your name, Bhante, Venerable Homagama Dhammakusala Thero, to today's session. I'd also like to welcome all the organizers and all the participants who are taking part in this session via Zoom today. Today is the 26th session, which marks a weekly program that we've been conducting for the past 6 months. So although it is another session, just like any other, it's also a milestone in the longevity of this program so far. And I'm very pleased to see everyone here and to welcome you to today's session. Before we start the program, I'd like to encourage everyone who feels comfortable to do so to switch on their cameras. Being able to see each other while we participate in the session helps create a sense of community and can also help Venerable Bhante feel connected to us during his instruction. With that request, I would now like to invite Venerable Dhammakusala Thero to start today's program with our in-session mindfulness practice, our usual way of starting these sessions. Over to you, Bhante, with much merits.
Dear friends, so another mindful practice session. We will start with practicing mindfulness for a while. So today, as the practicing part, I thought we can do a sit-in session. But we will do some change in the way of practicing. So when we are seated here, we don't have any bodily actions. Of course, certain activities are there, but we are not controlling them. The body functions are there, like breathing, heartbeat would be there, but we are not going to control them. Instead, we will just let them happen. So when you are seated comfortably, you don't do anything with your body. You are just relaxing. Then there are verbal actions. So that's also we stop for a while. We are not talking. We stop our verbal actions as well. So in our discussions, we usually talk about doing nothing. We usually talk how difficult it is to do nothing. So today, as a group, we will try that. We will practice that. For a few minutes, we will try to do nothing and just be. So adjust your seat. Make sure that you are comfortable. And once you have that comfort, you can close your eyes. And keep your body in a comfortable position. Let the body breathe naturally. We don't have to control it. Just let it be. Now there are no intentional bodily actions. We are not talking, so no verbal actions as well. Now, although you stop these two, the mental actions, they work. Try to notice what is happening inside your mind. Now, just for a change, just for a few minutes, we will not do anything with our mind also. Let it flow naturally. You don't try to control it. Let your mind jump here and there naturally. Just let it go naturally, let it flow, and just be the observer. Just be the observer and notice what is happening. You may notice that your mind is all over the place. It may go to thoughts, surrounding sounds, sometimes bodily sensations. Wherever it goes, just be the observer, just notice. Just notice this flow of your mind. There might be an inclination to control it, but again and again, we just let it go. We just let the mind flow naturally and just be the observer for a while. Now, if you can follow my instructions, we are not doing anything. Instead, we are just observing this natural flow. As long as you observe this natural flow, you are doing nothing. So as a group, we will try to behave this way for a few more minutes. Now you can open your eyes again. So this is basically doing nothing for a while, maybe 5, 10, 15 minutes. Can you just be and let the nature take control? Can we just let the natural flow go? So if you can practice this, it feels like a detoxing process for your mind and body. Just 20, 30 minutes of doing nothing every day. Maybe after a busy day, if you can just be for a while, then it is so relaxing. And afterwards, you feel much more comfortable. So that is the practicing part for today. And we can move forward, Arusha.
Thank you very much, Bhante, for that wonderful guided meditation practice and instruction. Just spending that time doing nothing, that freedom and calm that comes from realizing that there's nothing to do, nowhere to go, and no one to become is very liberating. And yeah, I found it a great experience. So many thanks, Bhante, for that. We now move to the next section of today's program, which is to present the practice reports that we've received and questions that we have received, and to listen to the guidance offered by Venerable Bhante in response to these. So now I'd like to invite Sonali, who will read the practice reports and facilitate a question and answer session following this. Sonali, over to you. Much merits.
Sorry, Bhante. Thank you, Arusha. There are three reports today. I will start with the first one. Walking meditation. Walking on tiled floor. Noted pressure on soles of feet as hardness. Also noted coldness. Sensations changed as each step was taken. Hardness reduced from heel as foot was raised, increasing in intensity at toes, and then disappearing as foot as fully lifted from the ground. Pressure on other foot increased from heel to instep and then toes. Noted sounds of feet brushing ground on some steps and sticky sensations at toes during other steps. When turning, noted that one foot was moved backwards as the other foot took the full weight of the body. Noted twisting sensations at knee before pressure eased with placing of the foot that was moving. During walking, there was a touch on the top of each foot and also at the knee. Sometimes noted this touch would be recognized as the fabric of the trouser, but at other times it would be just a touch and attention returned to the feet. Sounds and memories were noted, followed by additional thoughts at times. On each occasion, the attention returned to the feet after a short time. Practice continued for 25 minutes until the bell rang. Then the sitting practice. Sat on floor, supported by a cushion, initially noted the pressure on the lower legs and bottom, then move attention up the body to the hands, neck, and head. Once established in relaxed and comfortable posture, brought attention to the breathing as sensed by touch at the nostrils and upper lip. The in-breath had a prominent sensation of coldness and sharpness inside both nostrils, and the out-breath was a gentler touch on the upper lip. At the end of the out-breath, there was a pause before the next in-breath. During this time, the attention shifted to the sound of silence, which became more prominent. also noted pulse-like vibration at times before attention returned to touch of air in nostrils and on upper lip. Sometimes sounds were noted and attention returned to breath. At other times, sounds were recognized and noted arising of several thoughts, one after the other. Practice continued in this fashion for 25 minutes until the bell rang. End of report.
Okay, so when you sit, you can notice the in-breath and out-breath. In between, there's a pause. And you call it the emptiness or the sound of silence. So various names are there. And initially, it is even difficult to notice. Initially, even difficult to, you know, catch your breath. But when you develop your mindfulness little by little, you see that in between two breaths, there's a gap space. And this is the real fabric of this world. On this fabric, the things are appearing and things are disappearing. Our mind, it naturally goes to the things that appear, but it doesn't see the fabric. With mindfulness, with this type of a practice, little by little, you start to see the fabric of this world. It is not colorful, it is not vivid, it is not grabbing your attention. But little by little, you start to notice it. Initially, you feel the things are there. It feels like a movie running continuously. But when you observe more and more closely, you start to see the gaps in between. Although we call it a movie, it's only pictures, a collection of pictures that are happening. If the frame rate is higher than 21 per second, then we see a moving picture. We see a movie. But more you develop your mindfulness, more and more stronger it becomes, you start to see the gaps in between. You start to see this is not a moving picture. Instead, it's a collection of pictures. There are gaps in between. And when you notice these gaps, when you start to notice the fabric, then you realize when my attention is there, I don't have any friction. When things are there, of course, there's a friction. More you grab on things, more you hold on to them, more and more friction you will feel in this world. But in this fabric, there's no friction. It is frictionless. So more and more your mind will start appreciating this, the world without friction or the fabric of this world. So that's why we say we start with this world. But when you develop your practice, you go beyond the world. You see through the world that is there. It takes time. It takes endurance, but you can do it. Every day, spend some time doing sitting, walking practice. As much as possible, try to maintain awareness during your day-to-day life. With time, within even few months, you can notice that the friction is reducing. You can compare it. When I started, this is how I felt. This was my normal state of mind. This much friction I had. But after practicing regularly for a few months, now I feel there's less and less friction. That's because your mind is giving more and more priority, attention to the fabric of this world. The place where there's no friction. So you just have to introduce it little by little. More you introduce it, less friction you will have in your day-to-day life. So that's a very good sign that you are progressing in your practice. I'm not saying, you know, within a short time period, within a one or two days, I'm not saying like that. But if you practice for a few months, then you realize that within these 2-3 months, now the friction is much lower. Temporary, it will go up and down, but with time, it is going in a reducing direction, reducing trend. It is going. So this is a good measure of your practice. If the friction is not reducing, something wrong in your practice. You have to again and again discuss and see whether you are practicing correctly. If you are practicing correctly, of course, within a few months, you can see that friction is reducing because your mind is starting to appreciate the fabric of this world. The fabric where there is no friction. So in your report, we can see that your mind is shifting from things to the emptiness or the sound of silence. Again, coming back to things, again, goes back to the emptiness. So when you are in emptiness, there is no friction. When you come back to the things, there's friction. So let this happen again and again for thousands of times. More you allow it to happen, more your mind will appreciate the emptiness or the sound of silence. So with that, we can go forward.
Thank you, Pante. And we move on to the second report from an adult. Walking meditation. Walked on tiled floor, observing sensations on feet and legs. Lifting, moving, placing, observed. Hard, soft, itch, warm, cold, tingling, contraction, relaxation of muscles noted. Body warm, sweaty, and parts of feet on top of foot warmer than the rest of the foot. Noted this sensation passing away. Tried to watch the beginning, middle, and end of the lifting, moving, and placing, which was observed for 5 steps before the mind wandered, but came back to feet. Walked 45 minutes. Sitting meditation. Primary object, watching breath. Initially observed sitting posture, noting weight of body on buttocks and cushion, observed position of hands, relaxed face muscles, straight back, and sensation of tingling from head to toe. Mind wandered but came back to breath. In breath and out breath short. Equal in length, warmer out breath and colder in breath. Breath broke up and gaps noted. Sound heard and the sound breaking up observed, and gaps in between the breaks of the sound. Mind came back to breath. Meditated for 1 hour. Daily mindfulness. Tried to be mindful when washing vegetables. Noted the sandy soil on the carrots and difference in texture of the leaves. Observed hands reaching to open tap, cold water falling on the hands and surface of carrots getting smoother. Movements of hands as the carrots were being scrubbed. Closing the tap and peeling the carrots. Thank you for guidance, Pante and the organizers. End of report.
So every time when you notice your body, you are sure that you are in the present moment. So that's why, especially during the day-to-day activities, they recommend you to observe your body, observe the posture, observe the sensations that you feel with your palms. So you can notice that you are doing this activity and these are the things I feel. When you observe them, you are guaranteed that you are in the present moment. you are not in your thinking mind. So this you have to put into use, this power of your body, power of the present moment, you have to introduce to your mind again and again. So this you can do throughout the day. Whatever the activity you do, do it with awareness. Again and again, notice what you are doing. Don't let your mind wander too much. Instead, when you observe your body, when you feel the sensations, then you are assured that your attention is in the present moment. So that is the help we can get from our body. Otherwise, we are using this body as an anchor to be more present. So that's why during your day-to-day activities, you should notice these sensations while doing the activity leisurely. Brushing, eating, then washing vegetables or doing some gardening work. You can just be aware what you feel with your legs and hands and probably with your body. And just do the activity. You don't have to, you know, control your attention too much. Just let it flow naturally. Do the activity naturally, but again and again, try to notice whether you are present. If you are not sure, of course, you can bring your attention back to the body. Notice the sensations. Then you are sure that you are in the present moment. So this way, if you start practicing, then every day, probably like 18 hours, you can meditate. I'm not talking about the formal meditation, instead doing the activity mindfully and with awareness. Whatever you do, you can do it more successfully because your attention is there. And even for a few hours, let's say you got lost, probably on social media or some other thing. But after a few hours, you notice that I spent last 2-3 hours totally lost. And you can feel the stress in your mind. You can feel so many thoughts in your head because of that time that you spent. But that's fine. You are noticing. Now you see the side effects. Now you see the difficulty it has created in your mind. So more you notice these things, healthier habits you can develop. Various things could be there. Usually we are self-medicating with certain things, certain addictions that we don't even know. We are self-medicating certain problems, issues in our life. We try to, you know, medicate with some other thing, with some addiction. So when you practice, you start to notice them. There's no rush. You don't have to remove it suddenly. You don't have to stop it suddenly. But keep noticing. Keep noticing that I have this addiction. You know, spending so many hours on this. It is creating so much stress in my mind. So many thoughts are popping up after this activity. You just notice. When you notice, when you know, then that's the turning point. If you don't know, then you are not changing. You won't do any change. You don't have to reject anything. You don't have to suppress anything. Instead, just be aware. Just know that you are doing something wrong. Know that you have addictions. That is the first step towards better habits. That is the turning point towards your mental health. If you know, then you can do something about it. Again and again, you are addicted, you are doing the same thing. But still, if you know, your mind is not enjoying that activity so much. Instead, your mind is divided. You are not totally lost in that activity. Instead, part of your mind is observing, complaining probably. So that's a good sign. Not totally lost. Instead, you are aware that certain part of my mind is lost in this activity, but still certain part I'm observing that I'm addicted to this again and again. I am spending so many hours on this and it is not helpful. That observation, let it happen naturally. Let this observation happen naturally. And within few months, you realize that you are getting better. If I tell you stop suddenly, then I'm creating more and more trouble in your life. I'm inviting more and more difficulties. Instead, what I'm saying, don't try to change suddenly. Just let them be. You know, you be the observer. You become aware about these things. If you are aware, that is the starting point. Within few months, within even few years, you can move towards a better direction. So that's the idea. So in your report, you can spread your attention towards your day-to-day life. You have done it. I'm inviting you to do more and more.
Thank you, Pante. I will move on to the third report. It is actually some questions from the last session. So it says, thank you very much for your compassion and wisdom in guiding the mindfulness for beginners session on Saturday. During the last session, you mentioned that rather than follow thoughts and emotions as a basis for living in daily life, it would be better to observe thoughts and emotions as they arise and pass, develop present moment awareness, and use one's gut feeling as a basis to address matters and take action. And the questions are, how does one differentiate one's gut feeling from a simple emotion? And the second question is, rational thinking is an important tool to develop understanding, making decisions, and function effectively as a human being. Does Buddhism advocate moving away from thinking and developing clear comprehension through an alternative way, such as by developing present moment awareness? And there's a third question. Are thinking and present moment awareness mutually exclusive? Much gratitude. Do you want me to read the questions again, Bhante?
No, when I hear these questions, I can't stop noticing that these are also thoughts. So entire paragraph is based on thoughts. So you can't really get rid of thoughts by thinking. You are feeding the same fire again and again. It's like, you know, dog rotating to catch its own tail. It's a never-ending process. So that's why we say we don't give priority to the thoughts. When you say that, you can dismiss the entire paragraph saying they are just all thoughts. So what is the solution? The solution is that you have to be more present. We are not in a practice that we are answering the questions. Instead, we try to kill the questions. We try to get rid of the questions. Not by answering. Instead, through the practice, you will reach a point that you will have no more questions. And it's not a sudden achievement, little by little. You notice that initially I had a lot of doubts, thoughts, questions. Now I don't have that much. More you practice, you realize that less and less questions, doubts you would have. So to the writer, I would recommend that forget about your day-to-day life. Just try to be present during the formal meditation. Try to talk about that. Try to notice your body. Usually the people who appreciate rational thinking, the thinking mind, they don't talk about practice that much. They say, oh, of course, I practice, but they are not trying to explain. Remember the previous reports that we heard, they wrote that entire paragraph on the practice, what they are doing during the practice, what they notice. So they give priority to that. usually if you appreciate thinking mind, then you are not giving priority. They say, okay, I'm practicing, that's fine, but I have these questions. So that's a sign that you are not appreciating this present moment, right? If you have a relaxed mind, if you have a mind that is more present, then that's the best way to be prepared. You're asking about gut feeling. So as gut feeling, I am telling that you, can you be present? Can you have a relaxed mind? That is the best way that you can be prepared for any situation. You won't do it 100% successfully. That's not our aim. But instead, you are prepared. Right? So that's the idea. By being present, by being aware, by having a relaxed mind, you are prepared for whatever the situation that may come. If you appreciate thinking, if you think that thinking mind will lead you somewhere, then that's a separate problem. In this practice, we are not encouraging that. We are not encouraging the thinking mind. Of course, thoughts are there. Thinking mind should be there. Otherwise, you can't function. Even Buddha had thoughts. So you don't have to worry about that. Instead, what I recommend is that you try to talk about your formal meditation. Try to talk how you observe your body while walking and sitting. So that is a good starting point. Otherwise, too much momentum in the thought processes and no momentum towards the present moment. No momentum towards the observing body and be present. So when you have too much energy in thought processes, you are dragged with those thought processes. So it is said that how a bird is caught in a storm. The feathers are going in one direction, the head is in some other direction, the legs are upside down in some other direction. That's how we are when we are caught in our wandering thinking mind. So the energy is too high in the thinking processes, thought processes, that you can't be present. So what we are suggesting is that again and again, try to bring your attention to the body. Try to reduce that energy that you give to the thought processes. Especially start with the formal meditation. That is the starting point. Then later we can talk about the day-to-day life. Formal meditation, it's like going to a gym, supporting your activities, creating those muscles. And when you have that energy, when you have those muscles developed, then only you can go and face the day-to-day life. So that is the idea I want to give.
Thank you, Bhante. That was the end of reports. Now we will have a little bit of time for any questions. If anyone's got, you can raise your Zoom hand or you can type the question and I'll read it out. Give it a few more seconds. I can't see anyone. I think there are no questions. I will pass it over to Arosha.
Avsarai Bhante, and thank you very much, Sonali, for reading the practice reports. And thank you very much, Bhante, for your insightful guidance and advice on how we can continue to develop our practice. And I'd also like to formally say thank you to everyone who shared a practice report and shared their questions, because this opportunity to understand the practice and also to hear the guidance is very helpful to all of us. So it's much appreciated. The next section of the program is to go through the Beginner's Guide to Mindfulness, which provides the basic instruction for participants in our program. It's also something we do every week as a useful refresher for all of us in our mindfulness practice. So the starting point for the practice, the guide, is to understand what we need to do in formal practice, mindful walking and mindful sitting. And to help with this, there are two videos that are available at the links shown here on the screen. And these are links that we will also post into the chat later as PDF and as text, so you can access them that way. And each of these videos provide some instruction, an introduction to how to practice walking meditation and sitting meditation. So we recommend that everyone watch these videos and then use that information to allocate some regular time to that practice, to the sitting and walking practice. So this is the second step, to make some formal practice a regular part of our routine.
Excuse me, Arusha, I think you are sharing the other screen.
My apologies.
Maybe unshare and share again on the presentation.
Yes, so as I was explaining, the first step is to watch these videos to get some familiarity with the formal walking and sitting practice. And then the second step is to allocate some regular time to that practice. And you can start with a very short period as your day and routine allows, maybe 5 to 10 minutes of each form of meditation each day. And as you become more comfortable and familiar with the practice, you can increase this to 20, 30 minutes, maybe eventually an hour of regular sitting and walking meditation practice. Our recommendation is that you start each period of practice with mindful walking and then proceed to mindful sitting. Try to spend roughly the same amount of time for each form of practice, which can help you get the most from this program. Then we suggest that you continue practicing in this way for 3 or 4 days, or maybe a whole week, until you've managed a total of about 2 hours of practice for each form of meditation, walking and sitting. And once you've done this, you can try to describe your experience in a reflection report or a practice report. And this is the third step of the guidance. So you can describe your mindfulness experience in your own words, including the primary object of your meditation, what you noticed about this object, and any other stimuli that you noted. For example, during walking practice, you might notice the pressure of your body on the soles of your feet and how this changes as you take each step. You can describe the prominent sensations you notice during your practice. And you might notice things in the environment, sounds or sights, and the thoughts that arise. And you can include this information in your report too. We all heard examples of these practice reports earlier on in the session, and hopefully that gives you an idea of the form that these reports usually take. But it's important to remember that you should describe your experience in your own words. This exercise of reflecting on your practice and keeping some notes on it can help you understand how your own mindfulness is developing. And by sharing that with the community, it can also help everyone gain useful insight and guidance on how to progress with their practice. So that brings us to the next stage of the guidance, which is to share your reports with us using the online form shown here or the email address. And again, we'll share this information in the chat so you can access it more easily. And so once you share your practice report, we read them out so that Bhante can listen and provide valuable guidance on how to continue to develop your practice. And this cycle of feedback where you share your experience and receive further guidance is an important way in which this program helps us all develop in our mindfulness and mindfulness practice. So, and then the final step is to join the program regularly as often as you can. It takes place every week, but also you can listen to the recordings of past sessions at the link shown here on the screen as well. So that concludes the presentation of the guide for this program of Mindfulness for Beginners. We now come to the section of today's session where we invite Venerable Banthe to deliver a talk on mindfulness to further support our practice. Therefore, I would now like to formally invite, with permission to speak Banthe's name, Venerable Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero, to deliver a talk to help us to continue developing our mindfulness practice. Over to you, Banthe, with much merits.
Dear friends, I think we can spend some time discussing a little bit more about the practice. So we were going through the beginner's guide. So let me start there. Now we are recommending this practice to you. We are recommending two videos that will give you some kind of a basic understanding about the practice. So in a way, you have to listen to these words and see whether it is related to your day-to-day life, whether you think this would be helpful. And you have to start practicing on your own. So initially you listen to other people's experiences, the changes the practice has made in their lives. You listen to them. Then you listen to our discussions. Based on that, you may get the motivation to practice, to be aware while walking and sitting, and try to practice this mindfulness inside your mind. So when you do that, that is a valuable part of this practice that we are recommending, because otherwise they are just words. They are just ideas. But when you start to practice, then you see for yourself. When you see for yourself, then there's no need for you to believe somebody else's word. There's no need for you to trust somebody else. Instead, you can trust yourself. You can trust your own experience. So that is the most valuable part of this practice, that you can verify yourself, you can see for yourself. We start with belief, but we are moving towards a point where no belief is needed because we practice. So I heard this wonderful story about a monk. He was living during Buddha's times, and he was a scholar. Every book he mastered, and he had, you know, 8 schools he was teaching thousands of disciples. He was a great master, and nobody dared to question him on any Dhamma topic. And he was, for years and years, he was doing this. He was teaching a lot of people. One day, he went to meet Buddha. When he arrived, Buddha greeted him in a strange way. He greeted him saying, "Ah, venerable, empty scripture. How are you?" That was Buddha's greeting. Then for a few minutes, they were talking. And when he was about to leave, "Going now, venerable, empty scripture. Okay, see you." That was his greeting. So this person, he was thinking, "Why did Buddha call me empty scripture?" He was thinking, thinking, thinking. After days and weeks of thinking, he found out the reason. Because he didn't practice. He was just, you know, learning and teaching. He didn't have enough time to practice. So empty scripture. That was Buddha's words. So when you practice, that is the proper way to understand this peace that we are talking about. How to get rid of this difficulty in your day-to-day life. How to reduce friction in your day-to-day life. Of course, you can function as usual. You can go to work. You can raise your families. No issue. But if there's so much friction, if you are stressed all the time, if you have to take a pill to go to sleep, then that's a problem. So you have to find a solution, a lasting solution. So that is why we are recommending, if you start this practice, within a few weeks, you can see that my mental health is much better now. After just a few weeks of practice, I feel less and less friction in my day-to-day life. Even after a whole workday, I feel calm and relaxed in my mind. Why? Because you are practicing mindfulness in yourself. You try to be more and more aware during your day-to-day activities. Even during your work hours, every few seconds, every few minutes, you can just notice. Then let go and, you know, do your usual activity. Again, after a few minutes, 15, 20 minutes, you notice that you are sitting, you hear various sounds from the surrounding, you feel bodily sensations. Just for a few seconds, again, you are noticing, again, you are letting go. So that way, if you maintain your awareness into a certain level during your day-to-day life, then you realize even towards the end of the day, I'm not so tired. I'm not so stressed. Instead, I can somehow manage. So this way, we try to include this practice of mindfulness in our day-to-day life. And as much as possible, probably 1 hour per day at least, we try to practice it formally as walking and sitting. And with that strong mindfulness, we go to our day-to-day life. So it's like supporting your day-to-day life mindfulness with the formal practice. And when you do that as a regular part of your schedule for a few weeks, few months, then you can, of course, see the results for yourself. You can see that the practice is helping you. It is helping you to have less and less friction in your day-to-day life. And it is helping with your mental health. So that is why we are trying to recommend this type of practice to you. So these days, a lot of people, they have mental health issues. No wonder, because sometimes they spend hours per day on social media, wandering mind, lost in thoughts, comparisons, thoughts. So that's how they spend hours. After spending hours, of course, you feel stressed. You feel tired. You feel lost in your thoughts. It is natural. So when you start practicing, you start to notice these things. Because now you try to be aware, you start to notice so many thoughts. You start to notice these addictions. You start to notice craving towards certain things. So don't take it as a bad sign. Instead, it is a good sign that you have started your practice. If you notice more and more thoughts in your head, if you notice more and more addictions in your life, if you notice more and more emotions like anger, lust in your day-to-day life, then that's a good sign that you have started this practice. You are more aware. Due to that awareness, you notice these things. So when you notice these things, usually people, they try to suppress these thoughts, emotions. They think that I can't have these type of thoughts because I am so and so. So I can't have these thoughts. I can't have these type of emotions. They try to suppress these emotions and thoughts. But that is not the way towards proper practice. Instead, in a way, you are allowing them to flow naturally. So there is this new word, which is called willingness. You are willing to allow these cravings to flow naturally, allowing them to come and go naturally, allowing these thoughts to come and go naturally while you being aware. If you do that, then you realize you don't have to act. Instead, you can just be aware. Initially, you feel like they are too strong. Initially, you feel like these thoughts are too strong. These emotions are too strong. But when you have that willingness, then you realize with time, of course, I can allow them to pass without acting upon them. I can be aware that these emotions are there, these thoughts are there. So that willingness is important, willingness to allow these thoughts and emotions to pass as naturally. And when you do that, it is like detoxing to your mind and body. So when you spend more and more time in the present moment, when you are not suppressing any emotions, thoughts, when you are allowing this natural flow, it is a detoxing process that is happening. Even like within 10, 15 minutes, you can feel that you are so relaxed because you are allowing these thoughts and emotions to flow. I am not saying that they could be pleasant. Instead, quite the opposite. When you allow these thoughts and emotions to flow, usually they are not pleasant. They are unpleasant and they create difficulty in your mind. But again and again, you develop this willingness to let them pass naturally while you being aware. We can't turn off these emotions, thoughts suddenly, like you are turning off a light. Instead, if you try to get rid of these things, more and more powerful they will become. So that is why you have to find a different method of dealing with them. Just let them come. Don't encourage them. Don't act upon them. Instead, just let them flow naturally. Let them come and go while you being aware. Try to notice what your mind is suggesting. So you are creating some kind of a distance from these thoughts, from these emotions. Initially, if you are new to your practice, when you share your experience, even you will say that I am angry or I was angry. You will say like that. But when you develop in your practice, your way of discussing, way of writing will also change. Sometimes you may say that I noticed anger in my mind. So you have some distance between yourself and the emotion. And later, when you practice more and more, you will tell it as a natural process, certain things coming to being, and after a while they pass. There is no I in this process. So when you start your practice, I am walking, I am sitting, I am breathing, I am keeping my attention like this. That is how we start. Actually, we, in a way, we recommend you to start like that. But when you practice more and more, this I drops. Instead, you understand there's this natural process that is going. There's this natural flow. More and more you appreciate that natural flow, there's no idea. Various things coming to being in your field of attention. Then after a while, they disappear. They vanish. If you interfere, then of course you are creating something out of that. You can create whatever the things that you like out of this flow. Probably there's a mental image if you think, this is my grandfather. He passed away 10 years ago and I saw his face. Then the grandfather will appear out of that flow. And you can create a whole story. But if you just notice that this is an image that appeared and let it flow, then no issue, no problem. It's another thing that came into being. So it's like a mirror. Various things are appearing. And after a while, they disappear. If you look into the mirror, you will see something. So even the monkeys, they look into mirrors and they try to fight the monkey that is on the other side. So this mind is also like that. Certain things appear, we start fighting. Like a monkey who is in front of a mirror and fighting the monkey in the other side. Whatever this monkey is doing, other one is also doing that. More and more aggressively. So this is a never-ending fight that they are doing. Instead, we just let them come and go. Don't try to make it yours. Instead, this is a natural flow that is going like a water that is flowing. This process is naturally flowing. If you don't interfere, then no issue. It will go according to the gravity. If you interfere, then you are creating turbulence. You are creating trouble. So it is natural that you will try to create turbulence again and again because that is habitual. That comes naturally to you. But with time, you develop this skill. You become skillful to refraining from these activities, allowing this natural process to happen more and more. Let the water flow naturally without us interfering. And that is a skill that you have to develop. More you find that skill, it is like tuning something, tuning a musical instrument, and you are creating this beautiful music out of that. That needs skill. You have to develop skill. It will take weeks and months to do that. But that is fine. There's no rush. Little by little, we improve. Every day, we take few more steps, we move forward. Next day also we take few more steps. That way we are traveling, we are developing. There's no rush. It is not a 100-meter race. Instead, it's a marathon, that you have time, you have to find your proper pace and move with that pace. If you run too fast, then you won't run the marathon. If you stop, then that won't do either. So you create this balanced pace and try to maintain that. For weeks, months, years, you have to maintain this practice, maintain this natural rhythm. When you do that, you realize that you have made so many positive changes in your life. You have created so much space in your mind. Whatever the troubles out there in the world, you can still maintain peace in your mind. What is the reason? Because there is a distance between these thought processes, between these emotions and the observer. If you are holding on to those thoughts, emotions, then compared to that, you create friction, difficulty, stress in your life. But if you have a distance between these thoughts and emotions, then you are just the observer and these thoughts and emotions flow naturally. When sad things appear, when difficult things appear, you feel sad. When pleasant things appear, you feel happy. It is natural to feel that way. According to the mind objects, your mind is experiencing various feelings. But more distance you create, less and less difficulty you will experience, because you are creating more and more space between these mind objects and your mind. So in a way, people don't like this practice, because when you practice, you are not experiencing so much displeasure, as well as you are not enjoying so much. Feels like you are distancing yourself from the both. Usually people, they don't like the displeasure part. They want to get rid of it. But the pleasure part, they want to keep. That is the usual response that we get. But that's not going to be a permanent solution. If you keep the pleasure part, displeasure will also follow. So that is what happens to most of the people. You see those famous people in the world, they try to seek pleasure. They don't need displeasure. They only need happiness. And they are chasing. What happens? This pleasure and displeasure, it is connected so much. As much as they find happiness, they end up finding unhappiness as well. So it's like a two sides of a coin. If you take one side, you are naturally getting the other side. If you want to get rid of unhappiness, then you have to distance yourself from both. So some people, they don't like that. If you are not feeling anything, what is the aim of this practice, they are asking? When you feel things, you feel friction, according to them as well. If you are not feeling anything, there's no friction. Let me give you an example. Now, when you do sitting sessions, sometimes you may notice that during the sitting session, after 20-30 minutes, you spent 5-6 minutes and you didn't feel anything. Only after waking up, you felt that last few minutes, the time slipped. I couldn't verify when I was there, but only after waking up, I know that last few minutes, I was in some kind of a state that I couldn't feel. I wasn't sleeping, they are sure, but they didn't feel anything during that time. So think about that time. That time you didn't have any friction. As soon as the feeling comes, there comes the friction. So if you want a lasting solution, then you have to accept this. If you think I need happiness part and I will get rid of unhappiness part, then that will not work. It is the two sides of a coin. Only solution is to get rid of both sides. And when you practice, you feel that. You feel that you are not worried so much. Your mind is not moved by this mind object so much. Instead, you are blissful, you are peaceful in your mind. You are happy about the present moment. You are happy about what you got in the present moment. Maybe it is not a huge thing. Instead, you are enjoying the little things in life. You are enjoying a cup of green tea. It is not tasty. But still, you are enjoying that. You are enjoying the fireflies in a night sky. Just for a few minutes, you are fully absorbed into that environment and you are blissful. If you chase after big things, if you only chase after huge things and don't appreciate the little things that you already have in life, then it is a never-ending process. You will create more and more unhappiness. Instead, the practitioner, they start to appreciate the present moment more and more. The little things in the present moment. The smell of a flower. Beautiful day outside. You can have a walk. Sound of a bird. So these things they appreciate so much. Because you already have these things. You don't have to chase after them. So many things already in your life you can appreciate without only creating worry about things you don't have. Usually we are only complaining. We don't appreciate whatever we have. So last few days ago, a child, she was talking about the things that she appreciated from a day. And she said that, you know, my mom and my father created this for me. I appreciated that. And they were kind to me. I appreciate that. So she had a whole list of 10 things. That's from a single day. And what she appreciated. So I asked her to read that to her parents. Because usually, of course, in our mind, we appreciate, but we don't verbalize it. We don't tell it to the people, especially if they are close people, we are not telling. Instead, you can just, you know, put it into words, verbalize it. Tell that you have done this for me and I appreciate it. It could be a little thing. It could be a few words even, but still you appreciate. Not only you appreciate, you tell them. It is important that you tell them because otherwise in your mind you appreciate, but you are not expressing that. And they are not mind readers. They don't know. So it is important to live in the present moment, enjoy the present moment. Just be more and more open. If you need something, you can just simply tell them. You can just simply ask. You don't have to play games all the time. That simplicity in the present moment, we are recommending more and more. Because if you create a baggage, if you hold on to things again and again, if you again and again put them in your baggage, then with time you realize the baggage is becoming heavier and heavier and you can't even move. What we are recommending is appreciating the present moment and, you know, expressing yourself in a healthy way. Expressing your thoughts and emotions, accepting them, not suppressing them. Be open and, you know, appreciate this simple nature in this present moment. This life is not that complicated. Instead, quite the opposite. It is simple. If you appreciate this simplicity in the present moment, then you realize with practice, you are more and more happy and you are more and more present. You live a happy life with the little things that you have. You appreciate the things that you already have. You appreciate your family members, your children. And that is creating some kind of a blissful nature in your mind. So all this start with being aware, being more present, noticing your thoughts, emotions, noticing the present moment more and more. So with that, we will finish the talk for today. And thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Bhante, and much merits to Bhante for that excellent talk on mindful practice. And I summed up a little bit of what Bhante explained today. The natural flow of thoughts and emotions within the mind can be observed in a skillful way over time when you practice mindfulness. And once you learn not to disturb this natural flow, it will become like tuning a musical instrument, and it will allow you to become more and more skilled. And the appreciation of present moment will help you to get rid of any heavy baggage that has been resident within your mind. And these little things you already have will be able to make you happy and focus on the present moment more and more. So I think such insightful advice is very rare in this world, and we are extremely fortunate to be present in front of Bhante electronically through Zoom in this manner, and to experience this advice, especially from someone like Bhante, who's himself practicing these concepts and ideas. So much merits to Bhante, and we wish Bhante all the best of luck in progressing in Bhante's own journey of mindfulness. I would next like to thankfully mention the name of Most Venerable Bhante Udayiregama Dhammajiva Mahathero for providing us such a valuable opportunity to listen to this advice on mindful practice, especially through engaging in in-session mindfulness during today's session for 10 to 15 minutes. And then the Q&A session, which covered practice reports, and then also the talk directly on mindfulness as a single topic. So with that, I would also like to thank all the organizers who have contributed to this program by initiating this, working hard to initiate this, the structure and the platform infrastructure for the program to run on. And also, I would also like to thank all the attendees for attending these sessions. It is because of you that the session and the program is running, that you are following the purpose for this program. So thank you and much merits to all of you. And with this, I would like to mark the end of the session on mindfulness for today. And I would also like to provide the opportunity for anyone to present any criticism or any suggestion on the program itself, on how it is being conducted or on how it can be conducted. Any ideas or suggestions are welcome, and you can raise the Zoom hand and we can give you an opportunity to speak. I think there is no one raising the hand. I would, before ending the session, I would quickly make three announcements. I would share my screen for the first two announcements. Okay, so you can see on screen here that there is a website for Nisaranavane Forest Monastery. It is nisarana.lk. You can visit this website and gain familiarity with the wonderful work being conducted by Nisaranavane Forest Monastery. And also, there are a lot of resources in English and in Sinhalese, sermons and literature that can be quite helpful for you to become more educated and more experienced in mindful practice. So I would invite all of you to go on this website and get accustomed to the details on this website. Secondly, there is a very nice initiative by the Nisaranavane Forest Monastery called Satipasala Foundation, which is passing on the message of mindfulness to all ethnicities, to all people of all ages of in life, and conducting a master trainers program, which is educating mindful practice through the use of various topics and activities. So you are most welcome to go in there and have a look at all the programs and start participating. I will stop sharing the screen for the third announcement. The third announcement is, of course, the fact that this is an open program for any person, Sri Lankan or non-Sri Lankan, or Buddhist or non-Buddhist, to come and enjoy the benefits of listening to valued insights on mindful practice. So I know there are a lot of people who might not be aware of this kind of program, but who might be interested in if they get to hear the message. So I would like to wish that you can have the courage to invite others to participate in the sessions in the program and pass on the message of mindfulness so they also can reap multiple benefits. And with that, I would like to conclude and end today's session. Once again, I would like to thank Bhante and wish Bhante's own mindfulness will prosper and improve day by day. And I would also like to wish Bhante and all of you a happy and mindful week ahead until we see you all next week in the same time. Just one thing, for the persons joining from UK, I believe there is a time change happening. So from next week onwards, you will be having this session at 8:30 a.m. instead of 7:30 a.m. With your time changing. I believe on the 29th of March, the time will change. So we will be seeing you on at 8:30 a.m. next week. So with that, wish all of you a happy and mindful week ahead and see you next week. Thank you so much.